There is another type of curse necessary to be free of in order to change our lives. That's called the generations curse. What does the Bible say about it? Let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bernd Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bernd Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bernd's instructional teaching. Bernd shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bernd discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bernd.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Well, greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide radio broadcast, our Bible study of the air, where over the past several weeks, we have been talking about curses and their role in changing your life, that is, getting rid of them. God doesn't want you to be under a curse. God wants you free from the curse. And we've been talking about the different types of curses, and in our last broadcast, we began a discussion on the generations curse, the curse that runs in family lines, that causes people to walk in certain behaviors, in certain spiritual problems, in certain diseases that tend to run in the family. Old Testament scripture says a curse without cause will not alight, will not come. So there always has to be a root cause for a curse. And usually that root cause for a curse is a sin. And in our last broadcast, we discussed the foundational scriptures for the generations curse, Exodus 20, verse 5, where it says, and I paraphrase, that to those who sin against the Lord, that He will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate Him. Now, what does God mean, those who hate Him?
In other words, God says that if someone willfully practices sin and makes a lifestyle out of willfully desiring and practicing sin, God says you hate him. Why? Because God is holy and God is righteousness. God is righteous and his toleration of sin is zero. So man has a problem because the Bible says man is a sinner and cannot save himself. And only God can be the remedy for our sin by sending us a deliverer. That's what a savior means, someone to deliver us and give us right standing with God by being a mediator on our behalf and taking our sins on himself. And that is the Lord Christ Jesus. So Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes unto the Father except by me. So Jesus solves the problem for all these things, and once he solves the problem, he makes a way out for us from sin and from getting out from under the curse. And so Exodus 20 verse 5 says that if we willfully embrace sin, that generational sin goes down to four generations to those who hate God, that is to those who will willfully practice sin, with one exception in the Old Testament scripture, and that is the curse associated with a child born out of wedlock, which goes down 10 generations, according to the Old Testament scripture. But it is broken just as easily as any other generation's curse. We also said in our last broadcast that the personal generation's curse not only goes down four generations, but it cannot be broken by prayer alone. The breaking of the generation's curse is prescribed in Leviticus 26, verse 40 to 44, where the Lord shows us that the generation's curse is broken by repenting for the sins of the ancestors. And you say, well, I don't know what sins my ancestors did. No, you don't. But God did. Maybe you do know some that your father or mother or your grandparents or great-grandparents did. And you can confess those, but for those that you cannot confess because you do not know, just rely on the Lord and say, Lord, I repent for those sins that brought any generation's curses into my family's lines, and particularly the sins of such and such, if you know them, that brought the curse of such and such, if you know what it is. And the presence of the curse is determined by a problem in the family line in more than one person in more than one generation. That's what makes it a curse. And then in Leviticus 26, correction, Mikey, in Leviticus 26, verses 40 to 44, not only does the Lord demonstrate and write out for us the conditions by which the curse is broken, firstly acknowledging that, firstly repenting of the sins of the ancestor, and then acknowledging to Father God that they acted in hostility to him and grieved his Holy Spirit. And then the curse is broken in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus. All ties, bonds, cords, and soul ties with the curse, the sin, and the spirits that carry it out are broken, and the spirits are cast out in the name of Jesus, simply by using words, binding Satan first, all in Christ Jesus' name. That's what brings us freedom from the personal generation's curse. That is, repenting of the sins of the ancestors, acknowledging that they acted in hostility to Father God and grieved his Holy Spirit, and asking forgiveness for them in the name of Christ Jesus. And then it is always good for you to forgive and release them, acknowledge any such sins that you repeated yourself, and ask forgiveness and forgive and release yourself. Why? Because if you do the same generational sin that your ancestors did, it will pass down four generations from you upon your children and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren, perhaps, you see? Now, today I want to mention to you, going a little deeper in our study of the generations curse, that the generations curse can not only be personal, that is, within a family line, but the generations curse can also be cultural, and the generations curse can also be national. So sometimes we have to repent of the sins of our culture and our cultural pride, and we have to repent of the sins that our nation committed because of our national pride. And so I want to look a little today at a discussion of some of these things so that we can get a better understanding of how these things work. Before I do that, let me mention one more thing. The personal generations curse crosses over from your spouse or anyone with whom you have had intimacy with. Why? Because the New Testament scripture says that if a man lies with another, he becomes one with her. That means that even in the act of fornication, even though it itself is a sin and brings a curse, that the generations' curses of the partner cross over. Not only that, they cross over through marriage. Now, remember that when you repent of the sins of the ancestors, your mother has two family lines, and your father has two family lines, or the person that you had intimacy with has a mother with two family lines and a father with two family lines. So when you confess those sins, you must mention that to include them, because those sins cross over to you, and yours cross over to them. So I would pray, for instance, Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, I repent of all ancestral sins on all sides of my mother's two families, my father's two families, and those of my spouses or anyone with whom I have had intimacy with in the past, acknowledging my own sin, on all sides of all of those families back to the family's origins. And in particular for their sins of, and then you mention them, and you say, and for all like sins of my own. And I ask your forgiveness. I repent for them and myself because they acted in hostility to you and grieved your Holy Spirit. I forgive and release them. I forgive and release myself. I ask your forgiveness. In restitution, Father, I speak upon those who were hurt by their actions, the born-again experience, water and Holy Spirit baptism, the covenant promises. And I ask you, Father, to call them all to the Lord Christ Jesus and impart those things into their lives to 1,000 generations and beyond. See, the duration of the Abrahamic covenant, in other words. I ask all these things in your name. I cut and sever all ties, bonds, cords, and soul ties with the sins, with the curses, with the spirits who carry them out. And I break those generations' curses in the name and by the blood of Christ Jesus, all in Christ Jesus' name. See, that, pray something like that. You don't have to use my words exactly, but if you would like to listen to those words that I just prayed over and over again, I welcome you to go to our website, www.walkinginpower.org, Word of Faith Ministries International's website, where, by the way, you can also download free audio tapes and free books as well. And at the website, just look under radio broadcasts, and you can either download it or listen online. Same with our books and other audio tapes. And it's all free to the body of Christ to give the word to the world, to the glory of the Father, in Jesus' name. So pray for us, would you, that we would accomplish that. Now, as I was saying, once you do that, okay, you have broken the generation's curse, and you have broken that off of your children. You just say it, and I break it off of my loved ones, my children and their spouses, spouses-to-be, grandchildren, born and unborn, to 1,000 generations and beyond. And then you just go by faith that God honors your prayer. Remember, you must have an expectation. But let me give you a warning about breaking the generation's curse. If you want to break the generation's curse because you want a monkey off of your back, a problem that has been gnawing at you and your family or your children, and it's been running in your family for years and years, and you want that monkey off of your back so you can get on with your life and you can get on with your agenda, guess what? That generation's curse won't be broken because it's a wrong motive. The reason for breaking a generation's curse is first and foremost because it grieved the Holy Spirit and acted in hostility to God. And when you have a right motive with a holy expectation and you say those words in faith or trust on the Lord Christ Jesus, that curse is forever broken. One last warning. Don't repeat the sin of the ancestor, because you will then create a generation's curse, which will go down four more generations. In which case, you have to repent again, sincerely from the heart, and break that self-inflicted curse off of you and your children to four generations. Because what may be a self-inflicted curse to you becomes a generation's curse to your children. Now you say, oh, but where is all of this in the Bible? How do I know all of this is true? Well, let me show it to you. In 2 Kings 8:16, we see the story of Jehoram and Athaliah. Athaliah was the daughter of Jezebel. Her father was King Ahab of Israel, an evil man. And Ahab and Jezebel were into idol worship and witchcraft. And so was Athaliah. And Jehoram was the son of good King Jehoshaphat of Judah. And obviously, Jehoram being the son of someone who was in right standing with God was under the blessing, not under the curse. But read this along with me, if you will, 2 Kings 8, verse 16 through 19, and listen to what happened to Jehoram. It says, "And in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat being then king of Judah, Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, began to reign. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as did the house of Ahab. For the daughter of Ahab was his wife, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord." You see, this young man who was under the blessing married Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. And notice what it says, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord." And in verse 18, it says, "He walked in the way of the kings of Israel." He walked in the way of Ahab. See? He walked in the way of his in-laws. Why did he, who was under the blessing, the son of good King Jehoshaphat, walk in the ways of his father-in-law, King Ahab? Because the generation's curse crossed over through Athaliah, his wife. But watch the Lord's grace, 2 Kings 8:19. "Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for David his servant's sake, as he promised him to give him always a light and to his children." See, God always makes the way out, including a way out of the generation's curse. Now, in the New Testament, we see a case where culturally, some Jews bound themselves under a curse because of Paul, who was preaching the gospel. And notice what it says in Acts 23. Read with me verse 1 onward. It says, "And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite you, you whited wall, for sitteth you to judge me after the law, and command me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest you God's high priest? Then said Paul, I will not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of a ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead I am called in question." And when he had said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. Go on with me, if you will. Go on with me, if you will, to Acts 23, verse 11, and it continues, "And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified to me in Jerusalem, so must you bear witness also in Rome.'" Now watch this, Acts 23, verse 12. "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.'" You see, this was willful sin, and this is a case where culturally a group of Jews had bound themselves under a curse, which means it's possible to do that. In Isaiah 60, verse 12, we read, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted," the Lord told Isaiah. You see, this is a national generation's curse. And then in Judges 2, verse 23, we read, "Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all of the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites, and they that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering in of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and Hivites and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushesh-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Cushesh-Rishathaim 8 years. You see, that is a national generation's curse. But guess what? God doesn't want you under the curse. He doesn't want you under a cultural curse. He doesn't want you under a national generation's curse. He doesn't want you under a personal generation's curse. God wants you to be free. But guess what? The things of the kingdom of God are for the people of the kingdom of God. And so my question to you today is, are you in the kingdom of God? And if you are not, should you not be? Now, listen, friend, you might say, "Well, I believe in God and I go to church. Therefore, I am in the kingdom of God." The answer to that is no. Going to church and believing in God will not save you. That's right. It will not save you. It takes more than that to save you. And you say, "Well, what do you mean by that, Bern?" Well, what I mean is that you can go to church and believe in God because your mom and dad went to church and believed in God, or your grandmother and grandparents went, and it becomes a family tradition. That doesn't save you. Okay? No, the scripture says you must be in Christ. And what's more, Christ must be in you. So let me ask you a question. Is Christ in you? Do you know Jesus Christ as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life and get you out of any situation you are in? Nothing is too difficult for him. If Jesus has a way in, Jesus has a way out, and he is coming very, very soon for the judgment of an unbelieving world. Don't be part of that judgment. There's no need to. God makes a way out for you and for all believers before that coming judgment if you will simply open up your heart to Him. And I don't care if you're a Hindu, I don't care if you're a Muslim, I don't care if you're an atheist, I don't care if you're in a denomination but have not Christ in you. Well, you say, well, how do I know if I have Christ in me? The answer to that is very simple, friend. You know Him. And if you don't know Him, you do not have Christ in you, because Christ is a real living spirit person who is still changing lives today as He did nearly 2,000 years ago. The proof of it is that there are born-again Christians around this world by the millions all around you walking a faith walk, and they're not doing it because they're wasting their time, but because they know it works, and it'll work for you too. Are you ready? Will you invite Jesus Christ into your heart today as your personal Lord and Savior? Oh, the time is so short, friends. Please listen to me. Is there any reason why you should not? It's self-proving, you know. If you want to see that Jesus is real, all you have to do is ask for the revelation of Him and invite Him in. Even you, my Jewish friends, you can pray the prayer, you can pray the fair prayer and say, God, if Jesus Christ is really Messiah, show me why He is. If He is not really Messiah, show me why He is not. That's enough to do it. Pray this prayer aloud with me now, will you all?
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce